church, you may be seated. That song, that word hallelujah means praise the Lord. Halle, praise. Yahweh, the Lord. We praise him for who he is and what he has done for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 17, and 18. Be joyful always. Pray continually. And give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. As followers of Jesus, we have much to be joyful for, we have much to pray for, and we have much to be grateful for. What I'd like to do now as a faith family is let's take some time to thank the Lord for what he has done for us in the gospel, to thank him for the many blessings he's given to us, to take some time to seek his face together as a faith family. So I'm gonna invite you, start where you are, would you just posture your heart low? If you're engaging with us online today, I invite you just, would you just bow your heart and pray with us right here alongside us here in this room, and let's go before our great God and King. Would you praise the Lord that he has saved you from all of your sins? That you are washed if you are in Christ. All of your sins have been paid for by the blood of Jesus. Praise his name. You have been adopted into God's family. Would you praise him and thank him for your adoption? You have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Would you praise him and thank him? You have been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Would you praise him and thank him that he lives inside of you? Jesus defeated death on the third day, and he did it for you. Would you praise him and thank him for the eternal life that has been secured by his resurrection? You have a copy of God's word in your lap. The very words of the living God he has spoken into this book that you possess. Would you praise him and thank him for his word? You have access into the very presence of God. Through prayer, you can seek him and find him. When you seek him with all of your heart, would you praise the Lord that he hears you when you pray? Would you take some time now and thank the Lord for the gift of your family? Would you praise him and thank him for giving you life and breath? He woke you up this morning. Would you praise his name and thank him for the fact that you have a purpose, that you have a reason for living, and it's to glorify Christ? Would you praise him for that? Would you pray right now for people sitting around you? The holiday season can be really difficult for some people, and they need someone to pray for them. Would you pray for those sitting around you right now? And would you pray for your heart as you prepare to hear a word from the Lord, that your heart would be soft, it'd be good soil for the seed of the word. You'd be eager to receive the word and to examine the scriptures, to study the Bible for yourself. Father, I praise you that you love it when your children cry out to you, that you hear our prayers, you hear our cries, all because of your son, Jesus, our great high priest, our mediator, the one who goes before. We thank you that we can boldly come into the throne of grace to find help in our time of need because of a bloodstained cross and an empty tomb. We thank you that our sin, not in part, but the whole, has been nailed to Jesus and we bear it no more. We praise your name, God, that from before the foundations of the earth had ever been laid, your plan was to send forth your son and to rescue us and to call us to yourself. That God, you call us by name, you bring us into the new kingdom, a new family. We thank you that we have been purchased and we have been loved. We have been pursued by our Father. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are at work within us. You are conforming us into the image of Jesus. You're changing the way that we think, the way that we believe, the way that we feel. You are aligning us with the Word of God. You are drawing us to a deeper love and passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, oh God, would you fan into flame a white hot passion for Jesus in the hearts of your people. May Jesus be the one that we love above all else. May Jesus in his glory be the one that we pursue and long for. And Father, I pray, Lord, as we open your word, that you would teach, instruct, and encourage. Would you make us more like Christ? And I pray, God, you would glorify your name. Thank you for the promise that you are with us now and to the end of the age. So we pray, God, glorify your son, teach, instruct us, and make us like Christ. We love you both now and forever. We are yours. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, 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 amen. Love, love, love being with you as a church. I'm so thankful for baptism and Pastor Pipe and his ministry and leadership in our church. Special, special day. One of the good things about being with family is that you can confess things to one another. And so I do have a confession that I need to make to you, and that is I am a fast walker. Christy calls it Vacation Kenneth. It's because I love to walk fast. Walking slow is a struggle for me. I like being efficient with my time. I like moving my legs. I like getting after it. Walking slow is a struggle for me. Several years ago, our family went on a family hike here in Alabama, and it was a beautiful, glorious day. I'm enjoying creation. And then out in the distance, way behind me, I hear the words from one of my little sons who yelled out, "Dad, you're walking too fast." And I turned and looked, and Christy and all the kids were way out in the distance. I was walking too fast. Vacation Kenneth was in effect. You see, walking fast can be really good to be efficient. And if you're in a race, it's terrible for cultivating relationships. It's not good for cultivating community. You see, walking fast and pursuing what's next can be a hindrance when it comes to cultivating relationships. For some of you in this room, you work hard, you're efficient with your time, you're extremely busy, but you've neglected the most important relationship in your life, the time with your Father. We can become so busy with our schedules that we take on a Martha-like pace when God desires a Mary-like posture. That we become those who are treating our relationship with God more like a microwave than like a crock pot. That we sprint past the Lord instead of spending time, uninterrupted, focused attention upon our Father. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaches us how we are to pray and to fast so that we might learn how to spend time with our Father. Let me show you. Grab your Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We are walking through the Sermon on the Mount as a faith family in a sermon series called Mountain People. We're looking at the greatest sermon ever preached, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, where Jesus gathers a crowd of people on a hillside right there in the heart of Galilee. Overlooking the Sea of Galilee, Jesus preaches this message that is the most listened to and studied sermon in the history of the world. And in the contents of this message, Jesus is describing what it looks like to be a citizen of his kingdom. That we who belong to him by faith, we are a different kind of people. We live drastically different than the rest of the world. What he is describing in this message is that when our hearts have been changed by the gospel, by those who trust in the Lord, we now have a different kind of life. We look different than the rest of the world. We are a people who rejoice in persecution. We love our enemies. We always tell the truth. These are some of the things Jesus has already laid out for us right here in the text. Now, last week, we looked at Jesus' warning against his people committing spiritual hypocrisy. Jesus is warning against seeking the praise of people in chapter 6, verse 1. We looked at the warning of avoiding spiritual hypocrisy when it comes to the issue of giving. Now we're going to see in verses 5 and following how Jesus pivots away from giving, and he now applies verse 1 to the issues of prayer and fasting. So look with me in this text as we take a deeper dive into the scriptures. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 5, the scripture says this. Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your offenses. Whenever you fast, don't be gloomy like the hypocrites, for they make their faces unattractive so that their fasting is obvious to people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting isn't obvious to others, but to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. There is so much to unpack in this text. So Lord willing, we're going to come back next week and do a deeper dive into the Lord's Prayer in verses 9 through 15. But for our time today, I want to look at verses 5 through 8 and 16 through 18, where Jesus gets to the heart of how to pray and fast. Notice in the text these four principles that Jesus gives on how to pray and fast. The first principle I want you to see is this. Jesus calls us to pray and fast obediently. He calls us to pray and fast obediently. Jesus declares, verse 5, whenever you pray, verse 6, when you pray, verse 7, when you pray, verse 9, you should pray like this. Verse 16, whenever you fast, verse 17, when you fast. Jesus is making clear the expectation of his people that we are a people who pray and fast. That's part of the rhythm of what we do as followers of Jesus. Citizens of the kingdom of Christ are those who seek God in prayer, and we fast. We abstain from food or certain pleasures for a period of time. Why do we do this? So that we use that time to focus on the Lord and to draw closer to him, to gain more of God. Now, these are some of the personal spiritual disciplines that Jesus is giving to his followers, to those who follow him, those who are citizens of his kingdom. And this is what helps us grow and mature as believers. We pray and fast not because we have to, but because we get to. Like, we want to do these things, because when you believe the gospel, when you surrender your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, he changes your desires. You begin wanting to do things you used to not want to do. Like, before I came to know Christ, I dreaded going to church. But now that I'm a follower of Jesus, I love gathering with God's people. God's changed my heart. I have new desires. And so now, as a follower of Jesus, spiritual disciplines are not a have to, they're a get to. You see, reading your Bible is not a chore, it's a joy. You see, giving is not a financial drain, it's a joy. Fasting and praying are not inconveniences, they are a joy. Now, here's the deal. Whereas other world religions will treat these commands to pray as means of gaining salvation, followers of Jesus pray because we already have salvation. You are not praying and fasting in order to try and get God's favor. What you've done is you've believed upon God's favored son. You have God's favor already, and so you want to pray and fast. OK, Okay. Prayer and fasting are not works that you do to get to God. God has already come to you in Jesus. And God is satisfied with who you are through your faith in him. Now we do these things so that we might draw closer in our relationship with God. That's why it's not a have to. It's a get to. We desire more of him. You see, we pray and fast because we already have God's favored son and we want more of him. Praying and fasting are two of God's ways to invite you into a deeper relationship with himself, that in Christ, you have direct access to the Father. Okay, you no longer have to go through different kind of mediators. You do not have to go through saints to get to God. You don't have to go through earthly priests to get to God. You don't have to go through Mary to get to God. You have direct access to the Father through Jesus the Son. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus is your great high priest who through him and him alone, you have access into the very presence of God, that you can come to your Father through Jesus the Son. In fact, when we pray in Jesus' name, it's because Jesus alone has sole authority to grant you access to the Father. You cannot go to God on your own. You cannot go to God in your own way, in the way that you feel like you should or the way that you want to. That's not how that works. Jesus is the one who made a way through his shed blood on the cross to not only forgive you of your sins, but to grant you access into the very presence of God. Under the old covenant, we see in the Old Testament where there were times in which people would approach God in their own way and they would drop dead on the spot. In Leviticus chapter 10, we see where Aaron's sons approached God in an unworthy manner. And the scripture says, the fire of the Lord fell upon them and they died before the Lord. You see, you cannot approach God however you want to. We come to God on his terms, not on our terms. We come to the Lord the way that he has instructed us to. Well, you see, Jesus went to the cross to make the only way for you to have access before the Father. Jesus died so that you don't have to. And because of his death at the cross, he has now made a way through him to have access into the very presence of God. Do you remember what happened in the temple the moment that Jesus died? After Jesus breathed his last, the curtain, the veil in the temple that separated people from the very presence of God was this curtain over a thick, a foot thick. It's a thick curtain. The moment Jesus died, it was ripped from top to bottom. Because it's through the death of Christ on the cross, you now get to go into the Holy of Holies. You now have access into the very presence of God through Jesus, our great high priest, whose body was like that curtain that was torn. So now through Christ and Christ alone, you get to come before the Father. He is inviting you to come to him in prayer. God is inviting you to come to him through his Son. Prayer is a privilege that we have as children, that we are invited by our Father to come to him anytime we want to seek his face, to know him and to follow his ways. Because the curtain was torn, you have access to the Father 24/7. It's not the Holy of Holies in which only the high priest can go one day a year on the Day of Atonement and intercede on behalf of the people. No, that's all been done away with because through the cross of Christ, the veil is torn and you have access because of the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. So now you can boldly go to your Father in prayer through Jesus the Son. Jesus died to give you access to the Father. Jesus died to be the bridge to bring you back to the one who made you for himself. And so when you fast from social media or from food or for some earthly delicacy, it's not a burden, it's a delight. When you pray, it's not a religious inconvenience. It's an invitation from God himself to come to him with joy-filled obedience because of the gospel. So Jesus calls us to pray and fast obediently. The second principle that we see in the text is that Jesus calls us to pray and fast secretly. Secretly. Jesus calls out the Jewish leaders right there in verse 5. They are those who love to pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners to be seen by people. Now, hear me on this. There's nothing wrong with praying in public. There's nothing wrong with praying in a worship gathering or in front of an audience. We see it all throughout the scriptures. Moses prayed in public. We see Solomon, Stephen, Nehemiah, Ezra, even Jesus did that. So it's not necessarily about the praying in public that Jesus is calling out here. There's something more. We see it there in verse 5. This is the motivation Jesus is warning against. He says, they did it to be seen by people. Okay, here, this is the point Jesus is making. Spiritual hypocrisy is what he's warning against. These religious leaders, they would fast from food and make their faces unattractive. They would make themselves look gaunt because they were so hungry from fasting. These Pharisees would make sure everybody saw, oh, I'm so hungry, but I'm fasting. It's for the Lord. And people would say, oh, wow, look how spiritual. They must be so close to God. And Jesus says they have their reward. Temporary praise of man. Jesus is calling us away from any kind of religious facade, this religious mask that we put up, trying to appear like spiritually we're crushing it when our hearts are far from God. Jesus is going after someone who puts on a front as if spiritually they've got it all together, but they know their hearts are not right before the Lord. They are seeking to be seen by people. They were wanting to be acknowledged for how spiritual they were. Jesus addresses this. We see the verse 5. These Jewish leaders, they prayed and fasted trying to impress people. Jesus says, you have your reward. But then verse 7, Jesus calls out the Gentiles, people who are not Jewish. And they tried not to impress people. They tried to impress God. Okay, he says, you are not heard. Look at verse 7. When you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles. Since they imagine, there it is, imagine, you can't create a God in your own image. They imagine they'll be heard for their many words. You see, God rejects pretension. He rejects those who are trying to use him as a spiritual pawn in their religious game. God does not play your religious games. God is not impressed by your big words when you pray. God's not impressed by your many words. He's not impressed with grandstanding. We are not like the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel who are heaping up empty phrases of prayers to God. Beloved, hear me on this, not us. We do not seek to impress people with our prayers, and we do not seek to impress God with our prayers. Okay, that's not us. God is not interested in impressive prayers. God is interested in humble and contrite hearts. A heart that is humble before him, a heart that seeks to honor him. See, when it comes to prayer, humble and honest beats clean and pretentious. When you pray, you don't have to try and impress God. You don't have to try and impress people. You just get low before the Lord. You just say, God, here's my heart, my life. I'm broken apart from you, but I desperately need you. I'm not very good at praying, but God, I'm just going to come before you with honesty and humility. And I'm going to tell you, this is what I'm experiencing. This is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling. And so God, I'm bringing it before you and I'm laying at your feet. This is what Jesus is after here. Maybe if you're here today and you're someone who puts on a front, you put on that spiritual mask, you try to appear like things are great when you know your heart is not right before the Lord. But today, would you repent? Would you turn away from that pretension and the masquerade? You see, we talked about this last week, is that we are not going to be a church in which you have to impress people. You don't have to impress me. Man, we're all broken in desperate need of the grace of Jesus, and we have to do it together. There's nobody here who's batting 1,000. We are a people who are in desperate need of grace. And as those who are grateful for the grace of Jesus, we're able to be honest before our Father. And we don't have to try and impress him with our words. We get to get low before him and we seek him privately in prayer. But don't miss this. When you pray, you have the undivided attention of an audience of one. Oh, this is so good. The enemy may lie to you and tell you that God doesn't hear you when you pray. Maybe you've been like me at some point that we feel like when you pray, your prayers hit the ceiling and they don't go any further. I'm not sure if you've ever felt that way. There are times I have, but that's not truth. The truth is, God pursues you and he loves to hear you pray. God bends his ear. When my children were young and they wanted to tell me a secret, I would get down low and they would whisper in my ear and tell me something that was so important to them that they thought was just life-changing. I didn't mock them or belittle them or tell them it was a waste of my time. No. As parents, we invite those moments. We desire our children to come to us. How much more, on an infinitely greater scale, does God delight in his children coming to him to tell him our secrets, to tell him what we're thinking and feeling and what we're experiencing? He delights in that. He is your father who is inviting you to come to him, to seek him in prayer, that you have access to him. But when you pray, okay, we are those who do it secretly. We're those who are not trying to parade it in front of other people. How often would Jesus retreat away from the crowds? He would get away from ministry momentum. He would get away from the chaos and the hustle and bustle of daily life, and he would retreat to get alone with his Father. If Jesus regularly got away to be alone with his Father, how much more should we? I'm talking, you turn your cell phone off, you clear your schedule, you avoid distractions, and we have solitude, an open Bible, and time alone with our Father. Your soul needs that. For some of us, we are so busy and distracted that our Father is calling us to slow down, solitude, time alone, to use Jesus' words, some time in secret with your Father, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. See, Jesus is calling us away from the distractions of everything that we got going on and to get alone with him. He uses a phrase here in verse 6. He says, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. It means going into your closet, or maybe it's your car, or if you're traveling with your family and you're in a hotel room, you go into the hotel bathroom while everybody's asleep and you just open your Bible. You see, but this is less about architecture and this is more about the posture of the heart. It's not about the place you pray, it's about the posture of your heart. Because we even see, like in Luke 18, Jesus gives the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. He says they went up to the temple, okay? They're getting really close to the very presence of God. And the Pharisee begins to pray about himself. God, I thank you that I tithe, I give, I'm generous, I fast, I pray. I'm not like this tax collector, okay? He's in a great location, but he's public, praying about himself, posture full of pride. Jesus contrasts the prayer of the Pharisee with that of the tax collector. Scripture says that he stood far off. He wouldn't even lift his eyes up to heaven. He would beat his chest in his prayer, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the point Jesus is making is, which prayer is God interested in? The one who's religious and looks like they're awesome, they're tithing, they're giving, they're praying, they're full of pride, Jesus says. This guy over here, this tax collector is broken. Life is a mess. His prayer is, God, have mercy. No flowery words. Honest, clear, from the heart. God, I am messed up apart from you. I've got to have your mercy. And Jesus says, this man went home justified rather than the other. For whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. See, it's about the posture of your heart in prayer. It's that you get low before your Father in heaven and you seek him, you get low before him, you ask him for mercy and he will show you mercy. Jesus is calling us to a place of seclusion, to be alone with just our Father in prayer, but he's not necessarily interested as much as the where as he is with the posture of our hearts. So Jesus calls us to pray and fast, obediently, secretly. Third principle, Jesus calls us to pray and fast expectantly. When you pray in secret, when you fast in secret, your Father, verse 6, will reward you. Your Father, verse 18, will reward you. Now, the reward is found not necessarily by showing off your religious facade before the praise of men. It's received when you secretly spend time alone with the Lord. It's off the stage. It's away from the limelight. It's away from public viewing that you receive your reward, which means when you have your quiet time, you don't need to frame it and take a picture of it and put it on Instagram, hoping that people will like it, seeking the praise of man. That's not us. Jesus is calling here to a life of secrecy, a life of humility away from the limelight, spending time with your Father alone. Jesus promises a reward from the Father for our private devotion here. The reward is eternal. It's stored up in heaven for you. But your greatest reward, stay with me on this, is God himself. God is your reward. You gain more of him. Yes, you receive his praise, but more than that, you get more of his presence. That is your reward. And when you get along with the Lord and you seek him in prayer and you go hard after the Father, it's there that God gives you more of himself, more of his presence, more of his power. Writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 11, 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and watch this, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. What does God reward you with? More of himself. You see, when God is our reward, praying and fasting expectantly, it means we get more of a reward with him. We get more of him. Asaph, the worship leader during the days of King David, wrote, "Who do I have in heaven but you? And I desire nothing on earth but you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." The Apostle Paul, who had reached the pinnacle of Judaism, a Pharisee of Pharisees, the tribe of Benjamin, he said this, "But everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them dung so that I may gain Christ." When you pray in secret, when you fast in secret, your Father sees and he will reward you with more of himself. For he is your greatest treasure. He is the pearl of great price. He is the rewarder of your life. He is the one who satisfies your soul. He is the one who made you for himself. He is the one who knows you better than you know you. And he is the one who says, "You come to me and I will satisfy your soul. You will never get thirsty when you drink from my water. You will never go hungry when you eat my bread. When you come to me, I will satisfy your soul." We come to the Lord and he is our great reward. God is not a genie in a bottle who grants you your wishes. He's not Santa here to bring you gifts when you ask him. He's not a vending machine that gives you what you order. He is your Father in heaven who loves you and wants more of you. And when you come to him, you find that he is the one who satisfies. He rewards you with more of himself. Does God hear us when we pray? Absolutely. Does he want us to ask for things? Yes, he does. But he's far more than just a vending machine. He is the creator of all things. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He is the one who is calling you to a deep, abiding relationship with him through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your reward. And prayer is saying, "God, I want you. I just want to be in your presence. I just want to spend time with you. You're the one that I want. I'm grateful for your gifts, but even more so, I'm grateful for the giver." I saw something trending online recently that really was encouraging of these grown grandchildren who coordinate together to all at the same time go to their grandparents' house for a slumber party. The grandparents have no idea it's happening, but it's a video of all the grandkids coming. They got sleeping bags and pillows under their arms. They've got board games and pizza, and they all get together and they film the whole thing and they ring the doorbell and open the door, and there are grandparents who are shocked. They're stunned and they begin to weep. My grandchildren want to come and spend time with me? And it's a beautiful picture as the videos play. You can Google it. It's so fun to watch. In which they're all just throwing their sleeping bags on the living room floor and they're playing games and laughing and telling stories and eating pizza and pancakes. And the whole time the grandparents are just overwhelmed with gratitude and tears, thinking they just want to spend time with me. And as I was watching these, I thought, that looks a whole lot like prayer. Is that we just get to come to our Father and say, I just want to spend time with you. You don't have to give me all the gifts. You don't have to give me all the things. I just want you. I want time with you. When you come to your Father in secret, your Father sees in secret, he will reward you. And God will reward you with more of himself. You get more of God, and he is the one that you long for. He is the one who satisfies your soul. He is the one who rewards you with more of himself. He is the one that we go to obediently, secretly, and expectantly. Fourthly, Jesus calls us to pray and fast humbly. Humbly. Jesus gives us a quick lesson in God's sovereignty in verse 8. Can you put your finger on verse 8? Your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. Oh man, let that just roll right in your mouth like a caramel Werther's original. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Wow. Grab hold of this. Your Father in heaven is fully aware of everything going on in your life. He is not shocked. God is never caught off guard. There's never a moment in which he says, I didn't know that. Doesn't happen. He's fully aware. He knows what's happening in you, through you, and around you. He knows your sorrows. He knows your temptations. He knows your sufferings. He knows your relationships. He knows your stresses. He knows what keeps you up at night. He knows your financial situation. He knows your health situation. He is fully aware of everything happening in your life. The moment you come before him, he already knows. And yet in his sovereignty, he still knows, and yet he still invites you to come. That's what's amazing about prayer, right? Is that you're not letting him know something he doesn't already know. He already knows, but he's inviting you to come anyways. Tell me what you're afraid of. Tell me about your temptations. Tell me about your broken relationships. Tell me what you're struggling with. I already know, but I want you to tell me. Not so I can shame you or beat you up, because I want to have a relationship with you. Your Father knows before you even ask him. He is inviting you to come to him. He knows your day of birth. He knows your day of death. He knows everything in between. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And he ordains, Ephesians 1:11, all things according to the counsel of his will. And so since he ordains all things and he knows all things, and yet he's inviting you to pray. He's inviting you to come to him. Oh, what love the Father has loved us with, that we would be called children of God, and that's what we are. And we get to come to him as children. And when you understand that your Father already knows what you need before you ask him, you don't feel like you have to impress him. You don't feel like you have to coerce him. Rather, you can rest in his sovereignty and in his power, and you can rest in his character and in his care for you. Knowing, God, you already know what I'm experiencing and feeling, and I want to lay it at your feet. I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm in pain. I'm full of joy. He wants you to tell all of it. I think one of the most difficult things about having a teenager is that sometimes they don't tell you anything. I kind of miss the days when my kids would come home and tell me the silliest things, because at least I knew. May I say to you, don't act like a teenager before God trying to keep your secrets away from him. You're in a relationship with your Father who already knows what's going on in your heart, your mind, your life, your pain, your struggle, your fears. He knows all of it. But he's inviting you to come, to seek him. And when you seek him, seek me and find me. Was this Jeremiah 29:13? You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Bring all of your heart before the Lord. He's inviting you to come. You know, prayer is a good gift that God uses in so many ways, but it forces us towards a posture of humility, because prayer in and of itself is our way of saying, you are God and I am not. That's a good reminder for us regularly. I'm not the Savior. I'm not the Lord of heaven and earth. Lord, you are. As you're casting your dependence upon your Father in heaven, you're letting him know, I am weak and needy and I am desperate for you. And knowing that he knows what you need before you ask him, and yet verse 18, he sees what is done in secret, and it leads us to approach him humbly, because he will reward those who seek him in secret. We get low before our Father. And though your Father knows everything, you're still invited to come to him in confidence, right? Hebrews 4:16, let us approach the throne of grace boldly, so that we might find help in our time of need. You get to boldly come before the Lord of heaven and earth. Yeah, he's inviting you to come, to seek him, to know him. You're invited. And God bends his ear to you. Maybe you're here today saying, you know, Kenneth, my prayer life is not where it's supposed to be. May I say to you, welcome to the club. There's no one here whose prayer life is where it should be. All of us are beginners at the feet of Jesus. All of us are children who are humbly coming before our Father in heaven. But you see, when you enter into a life of prayer, you're entering into a battle. It is a fight against your own flesh. You're telling your flesh to die. You're putting to death the desires of the flesh that want to be distracted, that want to be satisfied, that want to look anywhere other than the Lord. And that's a battle. It's a fight. But it's also spiritual warfare. When you pray, you are entering into a spiritual battle, and the enemy does not want you to pray. Now, as someone who loves to work hard for the glory of God, Satan is quite pleased with me working if I'm not praying. But when I begin to pray, hell begins to shake. Because when you pray, you're asking God to do what only he can do. You're asking God to change the hearts of people, to transform kingdoms, to see him do a work that only he can do. So prayer is hard, because you're having to kill your flesh, but you're also fighting against an enemy who doesn't want you to pray in the first place. And so God is calling us to humble ourselves, to get low and needy, and to seek him in prayer, to get low and say, God, I've got to have you. If you are someone who struggles to pray, I want to invite you right now. Would you pray about that? Say, Father, I'm not good at this. I want to get better. I don't know the right words to say, so I'm just going to tell you what I'm thinking and feeling and experiencing, and I'm just going to lay them at your feet. Do you think God will answer that prayer? Yeah. It is God's will for you to pray. And if you want to get better at praying, ask him, Father, would you make me better? Would you make me more effective? Would you make me more faithful in prayer so I can join you in what you're already doing? Would you just bring me to a point, God, where I'm just growing in my relationship with you, that I love seeking you in prayer? So here's my challenge I'm gonna place before you. It's your impact point. Is I wanna challenge you, commit to spending 20 minutes per day this week alone with your Father in heaven. Now for some of you, 20 minutes, you're already doing that. You're far surpassing that. Praise God, keep going. Don't slow down. For some of you, that sounds like climbing Mount Everest. 20 minutes, okay? If that's where you are, Jesus is gonna meet you right where you're at. He's not disappointed with your efforts. Just as we don't get angry at our children when they take their first steps, we rejoice. Yes, love the effort, keep going. God rejoices with you as you take those baby steps, as you grow and as you mature. And what's gonna happen is the longer you practice prayer, the more you get better at it. All of a sudden, the more you pray, the more you want to pray. It's a funny thing. God begins to give you a desire for more of that time. The time grows and matures as you spend more time with the Lord. Several years ago, the Lord really convicted me of my weakness in prayer. It wasn't a strength of mine. And so I prayed and said, God, would you make me better at praying? And here's what I discovered. There's no secret sauce. I wish there was, I'd give it to you. I discovered this. If you wanna get better at praying, you gotta practice. Just like you do in sports, just like you do in life. If you want to get better, you have to practice. You spend more time with the Lord and you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. And you got your Bible open. You begin praying the Bible back to the Lord. And you're like, God, this is who you are. And I'm gonna praise you for these characteristics. And all of a sudden you begin praying over people in your life. And God began working in my life. I began praying specifically for you by name and for you in general, praying for the nations, praying for God to reach lost people, bring to faith in Jesus. God began working in my heart. It's where I've grown in that area. Why? Because it just takes time and practice. The Lord is maturing me. And as you do that, as you spend more time in prayer, God is gonna mature you. But the way you begin is just by what Jesus says. You get alone with your Father in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And the reward is more of Him. Let's pray. Father, we are beginners at your feet. We are all children. None of us are experts. But oh, the grace that you have shown us in Jesus, that you don't get frustrated with us. You are slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and mercy. You're patient with us. You rejoice over us with singing. You love your children. And our meager efforts in light of your glory, you celebrate. So Father, I pray for our church that God, we would be known for being a house of prayer, a people who love to seek you in prayer, that it's not a last resort, but it's a first response, that we're quick to pray. It's part of living and breathing. That the overflow of the Holy Spirit working in us and maturing us and growing us, that we grow in our prayer life, make us better, Father. I pray, Father, that you would strengthen us and increase our faith and our dependence upon you. So, Father, I pray for that man today who's really struggling in his prayer life. I pray, God, that you would break him of his pride, remind him of your grace and your patience with him, that you're inviting him to a deeper walk and a deeper abiding relationship with him. Strengthen his faith, oh God. I pray for that woman who's full of anxiety and fear, stress about tomorrow, shame about the past. God, through prayer, God, remind her of who she is. She is loved, she is protected, she is cared for by the omnipotent King of the universe. And God, you are working in and through her prayer life to move mountains. So Father, by faith, would you make us more mature, more faithful, more healthy as a congregation, as those who seek you in prayer. I'm so thankful, Lord, that when we seek you and with all of our heart, we're gonna find you. And you're gonna meet with your children. So strengthen us, oh God. Make us more like your Son. We love you and trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, please, please, please don't leave our campus without trusting in Jesus. At the close of our service, off to your right, my left, our double doors, the next steps area, we'll have some men and women in there who would love to encourage you and help you take that first step in following Jesus. Maybe you're today and you got something going on in your life and you need someone to pray with you. They would be honored to pray with you today. Secondly, we're going to continue our worship out in the atrium. There are buckets out there in which you can give. You can also give online or through the Westwood app. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your generosity in your giving. Before you go, I shared with our church a couple of weeks ago how last year at our Christmas market, we collected 1,600 items, paper towels, toilet paper, diapers, cleaning supplies, sheets for the Alabama Baptist Children's Home, for their home right here in Alabaster. And we set a goal this year at this year's Christmas market to donate, to have 2,000 items given towards the Christmas, or from the Christmas market to the children's home. As of last night, a text that I got, so far this year, we have brought in 2,559 items for the children's home. Isn't that awesome? I love it. You are a generous church, and I praise God for how God continues to use you through your generosity and how you display it before him. How sweet was it today to get to see sweet Martha get baptized by her son, Pepe? Can we celebrate Jesus in that? So thankful. God is so kind. Church, I want you to know, I love you so much, but Jesus loves you more. Let's go and impact our world for Jesus. May God richly bless you. We are sent. God bless you.